feet. Speakers are asked to maintain respect for no comments in 3 minutes or less. I will, around 30 seconds, politely remind you to wrap up your comments. Please note that due to the YouTube community guidelines, the audio from the public participation portion of the meeting will not be available on our live stream. A recording of the public comments, however, will be available on the district's website tomorrow. And we have sent out communication to the community about this. Ms. Inhofe, is there anyone who would like to make public comments?
Erica Nelson.
Erica Nelson, thank you.
Good evening, Erica Nelson, 1734 K. Gordon Wheaton. I have 2 graduates of District 41. A couple of comments about the conversation tonight, and thank you again for holding a committee of the whole. But I actually want to start with my original intention, which is to do a quick shout-out to a community member, Lee Fruit. Lee, for several years, has been running our winter outerwear program, which provides jackets mostly, but also winter outerwear other needs for students, both in Glen Allen District 41 and District 89. And one of our social workers sent a note on December 17th before break started that I just wanted to read. A quick note of appreciation for all you do for us and our students. This was to Lee Fruit. Up, wanted to pass along the comment of a boy who received some new gloves. He opened the bag and said, "No way." Pulled them out, put them on, and continued to say that in disbelief that he could be so lucky to get new gloves. It's a reminder of the students who are a part of this community. And so all of this conversation, which sometimes feels like it's up here, is really about that. And so after reviewing the CASARTA report, it looks much like the last demographic report provided to District 41. The Series B projection is the expected one, as has been in past forecasts. This current report messaging is the same as in past years. District 41 school buildings as a capital asset are fixed. Our board leaders here tonight are reading much of the same forecasting as in previous years, going back to the study first done by Dr. Casarda in the mid-early 2000s. It affirms the decision to make this happen for our youngest learners, in particular, as was highlighted tonight by Dr. Kaskowski and also members of the community. And for the staff and educators in District 41, many of whom have been through this conversation for years, we have seen growth in our buildings, we have seen new development and building construction, and that's something to be proud of. And so I call on the board and your leadership to say yes to this and to fulfill one of the most important responsibilities of boards of education, and that is to have a future-focused plan, not just for 1 or 2 or 3 years, but really for 10 or 20 years, if that's possible.
30 seconds, sir.
I also want to thank the comments made tonight by Mrs. Hain, especially that concept of thinking beyond what's in front of us. It's so hard right now with so much on your plates. I want to thank this board and the work that this district and administration are doing, imperfect at best at times, but it most at the heart of it, it's about the kids. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jan Laskowitz.
Thank you. Jan, if you've got some information you'd like the board to have, the easiest way to do this notification, would you just leave it with Mrs. Bell? This way,
okay, well, let's hold so you can look at it. It's okay.
We'll do it right after the meeting. We'll look at it.
Just give me a minute. Okay, thank you for letting me speak again. I'm here just to respectfully discuss with the board, in particular, any administrator, the superintendent, about my concerns as just a citizen. And for our kids. I know that there's a lot of unknowns about the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, but the COVID vaccine, a lot of people don't know what the real danger is. I'm talking to all of you so you make it part of what your responsibility is to share with parents. You know, kids, depending on the age, but not young kids. But the young kids, there's no reason to get a vaccine. If a parent wants to get a vaccine for their child, that's fine. But what I think this district or any district who's not doing it is not sharing the information that I know about, that I shared with you last time, that didn't get shown on the video screen. So here I am again. This is how many people have died in Illinois from the vaccine. That's a lot of people. And that's only, they say, the VAERS website shows only 1 to 5%. We're talking so many injuries. Never before any vaccine has caused this much injury. That's just that one. There's so much adverse events. This many people have gone to the hospital. All sorts of different reasons. Myocarditis, blood clots, Bell's palsy, just go on and on. This is urgent care. So urgent care, you have people. And it happens sometimes, they don't even get out of the parking lot after they've gotten the vaccine. They have these, you know, have incidences where they can't breathe. They fall down, all sorts of problems. So it's serious. This is for doctor office visits, 153,000 and some odd. Again, these numbers are probably only, at best, 5% of the real number. Never before any vaccine ever administered has ever had this kind of problem. It should be taken down. There's no reason it isn't. It seems political to me. Anaphylaxis. People can't breathe. They have an immediate reaction. That's a real problem. You can't live if you can't breathe.
30 seconds, Janice.
Okay, Bell's palsy. That's neurological. There are people, I see video after video, there's doctors who've even gotten it, who've taken the vaccine, and they're shaking uncontrollably. Their lives are forever changed. This has to be your responsibility as administration and Board of Education to share with us, especially since you're hosting vaccine clinics in this district. It's unconscionable not to do so. So I really suggest you do that, and I will get this to you. I can leave it here, or I can leave it here.
There you go, that's fine. Thank you, Jen.
Just do something.
I, too, would like to implore the district to look at the health of the children. Like as stated, this is for the health of the children. There's been zero deaths from COVID in the age group that you are imploring for their parents to come and bring their children to our schools that we're paying for to get them this shot. Now, I'm not going to call it a vaccination. You know, like Jenna said, there's so many different disorders that are coming out from this shot. In 2020, the total number of adverse drug reactions were 2,266. This year alone, in 2021, was 2.5 million adverse drug reactions. And you can shake your head, but this is from the CDC, okay? Anyone can do anything they want with their children, but I implore you as a board to look at what we're doing, inviting children, and as teachers, as district administrators, you're really having parents bring their children in to do this. And I feel like parents are being bullied into doing this, and there's zero reactions from this COVID and deaths in this area. Let's read some of the overview of the different things that are happening with these shots around the country. A 17-year-old female started to suffer difficulty breathing and chest pain, and that's a VAERS reaction 11947. A 15-year-old female suffered cardiac arrest. That's VAERS reaction 118. A 5-month-old breastfed baby developed a rash one day after his mother had received the Pfizer vaccination within 24 hours. That's VAERS report 116062. A 16-year-old male received the Pfizer vaccine and developed a headache, upset stomach, and 2 days after the second dose, sadly, the following day was found dead. VAERS reaction 1366471. A 15-year-old female received her second dose, and one day later she died without reason. That's VAERS report 138620. A 13-year-old male died due to unexplained reasons 23 days after having the Pfizer jab. I'm not saying that people who have chosen to give their kids the vaccine are bad. I'm just saying, as a school district, I implore you to not have these at our school. Thank you very much.
Joe Cassis.
It has been over 5 years since Glen Allen built an addition to Churchill Elementary School. It is curious to me that the school district went through the enormous task of budgeting, designing, actually implementing a much-needed expansion to the school without any thought to include a faculty room for its teachers. It is utterly disgraceful to think that a teacher of the largest elementary school in the district is relegated to hold meetings between faculty members in hallways, storage closets, gyms, etc. These same teachers do not have a place to get away for lunch. They are once again relegated to either eating in their classrooms, storage closets, and even in their cars. A faculty room is a vital part of a school teacher's daily needs. They need a place to compare notes, to discuss issues that students and subjects in the curriculum, as well as to have a quiet place to think, relax, and prepare for the next class. A new, younger, and less experienced teacher joining the school, a faculty room is desperately needed so they can interact with their veteran peers for much-needed guidance. Without a faculty room, new teachers feel isolated and take on additional stress and uncertainty, and they learn as they learn their new positions. A faculty room would undoubtedly contribute to the teacher retention rate and would encourage faculty to build relationships that are essential to creating a caring and capable staff. As we enter a new year, I'm asking for the board to consider this need for a faculty room in Churchill Elementary in their budgetary discussions. I might also add that they're the only school that doesn't have one, a faculty room. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we move to upcoming meeting, I want to